From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today we go to Philadelphia to speak with analyst and professor at the Saturday Free School, Tony Montero. He's a regular here. And Tony, thanks. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to be back, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, considering the fact that we may be looking at a war over in Asia between China and the breakaway province of Taiwan, as people who are sane refer to it. The force for good in the changing international order, fighting for democracy, as some of the more delusional people say, and their, I guess, their script writers down in Langley, talking about an editorial by Tsai Ing-wen, who is the president of the government in Taiwan, in Taipei, which claims to be the government of all of China, but can't write a parking ticket in Beijing, of course, and sponsors in Washington, D.C., and then two articles in the Global Times, which is an authoritative organ of the government of China, the People's Republic of China, saying basically, here's the title of one: "Time to warn Taiwan secessionists and their fomenters, war is real." And it's illustrated with two fighter jets escorting a bomber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, this is a very important development, especially when you link it to other aggressive military moves on the part of the United States, or I should say the Biden administration. Of course, wasted no time in shifting focus to the what they call the Indo-Pacific, which includes the Quad, made up of the United States, Japan, India, and Australia. And then this alliance that they hatched in a secret way, so disgraceful from the standpoint of its NATO ally, Japan, France, that France withdrew its ambassador from the United States. I'm speaking of this Australia, UK, US alliance in the Indo-Pacific. And now Taiwan is stepping up aggressively, calling for recognition as an independent country, not claiming, I would just make this a correction, not claiming to be China, but as an independent country and thus a part of a military strategic order in the South Pacific. And that's the claim that the government of Taiwan is making. Now, Friday, October 1st, was China's National Day. That is the day when Mao Zedong and the leaders of the Chinese Revolution declared the People's Republic of China. On that day going forward, China flew air operations in the Taiwan Straits and close to Taiwan itself. And they make it clear that these operations were war exercises and not ceremonial, as in a ceremonial guard that raises the flag of China on a national day. This was the real deal. And the Chinese government, through the newspaper, the Global Times, which is kind of an unofficial voice of the Chinese foreign ministry, in an editorial on October 4th, the Global Times warned who they call the secessionist in Taiwan that war is not a game, and that the Chinese government and the Chinese people are prepared to go to war to guarantee the sovereignty and territorial integrity of China, meaning the reincorporation of Taiwan. After now over 70 years, reincorporation of Taiwan as part of China. The importance of this, and the Chinese foreign ministry makes this point repeatedly, that on January 1st, 1979, when China and the U.S. reestablished diplomatic relationships, there was in that protocol, in that agreement, a fundamental principle, and that is what is known as the One China Principle. There are not two Chinas. Hence, Taiwan was replaced in the UN by the People's Republic of China.
Right.
The U.S. established diplomatic and other relationships with the People's Republic of China. The One China Principle and the protocols in the 1990s established that unification of China was in legal rights of the People's Republic of China, that the fiction that somehow Taiwan was autonomous and independent would at some point end. We are at that point now. A few years ago, it was believed by the government of the People's Republic of China that it could be done peacefully. One third of the Taiwanese economy is owned by Chinese from the mainland. In many ways, Taiwan economically is more bound to the People's Republic of China than to any other nation, either in Asia or outside of Asia. But now, with the Tsai Ing-wen government, the government of what they call the Progressive Democratic Party, this secessionist move is being made, which is in fact an act of belligerency and literally an act of war. And they are saying, that is the Taiwanese government, that they are a force against quote unquote authoritarianism and a force for liberal democracy. Does it sound familiar?
Right.
You know? So here we are. And we have to be prepared as citizens of this country to mount a anti-war effort against what is possible from the United States. Now, just one other fact that we have to, again, there are two U.S. Aircraft carrier groups in the area of the South China Sea and Taiwan and the Taiwan Straits. They are permanently based there. This, along with an aircraft carrier group from Britain, the Queen Elizabeth, included among these naval forces are Japanese naval forces. So the United States already is preparing for war with China over Taiwan. Will the United States have the gumption to test China over Taiwan? Are commitments to Asia and East Asia and the Indo-Pacific, as they call it, is their commitment, the commitment again of the Biden administration, that strong that they will attempt to resist an all-out military attack by China on Taiwan to put down what the Chinese rightfully call a secessionist movement, which will attempt to reverse what is now almost 50 years of history going back to the establishment of diplomatic relations between the United States and China, and those relationships being based upon the principle of one China.
You know, there's an interesting aspect to this, by the way. I mean, clearly, on the one hand, what you have is a outpost of the empire, the colonial empire. The U.S., EU, has its tentacles into Asia, Africa, Latin America. You can see the front lines everywhere. You know, depending on which state you're talking about, you can see which camp that they're in, and there are at least two camps, one the empire and the other those who have either escaped its grip or are fighting its grip or who are rising independently on their own to, you know, just assert their own future in the world, absent colonial exploitation. Here in Taiwan, however, aside from the fact that this is a U.S. proxy, its own, or partly as a role also with the Division of Labor, you have a population of between 23 and 24 million people, and a military budget last year of $330-some-odd billion. In other words, about $15,000 for every man, woman, and child. That is more than the incomes of most of the people on the planet per annum, $15,000. And so there is definitely an investment in this war, and one that seems to indicate the war is going to be fought on the territory of China and including Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you know, a big part of that will be an air war. And, as the Chinese, starting last Friday on their National Day, were flying these military exercises, not ceremonial displays, in the waters of the Taiwan Strait, coming close to Taiwan itself. And what the Global Times editorial is saying, these are warnings to the secessionists in Taiwan and their backers that China is completely committed to preventing Taiwan becoming an autonomous and, in fact, a military strategic player in this attempt to encircle China with Western aircraft carriers and air forces and nuclear weapons, that China will not permit that to happen. And, you know, I was reading also an editorial in Asia Times, and from my point, I think it was an editorial, from my point of view, Asia Times gets it completely wrong when they say, well, this is just a show between the People's Republic of China and Taiwan. Neither side will follow through, and so on. I think they misunderstand and miscalculate China. Next year, 2022, there will be, I think in June, somewhere around there, the 20th Congress of the Communist Party of China. You will recall that it was the 18th Congress in 2012 that brought Xi Jinping to power. Xi Jinping's leadership has brought about significant and in some ways fundamental changes within China. And I would say with this next Congress within the Communist Party of China, but also has increased China's ability to defend its territory, including to prevent Taiwan from seceding formally from China and becoming a military base for the encirclement of China. They're not going to let it happen. I think this next 20th Congress is going to make it absolutely clear that China will now do everything, including military action, to reunite Taiwan with the People's Republic of China.
Well, they've been patient. It's been 50 years, well, 49 years since Nixon and Kissinger went to China in 1972 and essentially conceded to reality. You know, it was 33 years after the revolution. Okay.
Well, yes, but I would say one thing on that. And
23
you
years.
Had, yeah, you had Kissinger, the Kissinger moment, and then you had this big new Brzezinski movement.
Yeah, yeah.
Kissinger with Nixon, Brzezinski with Carter.
Right.
The thing was the Cold War and the isolation of the Soviet Union. I don't underestimate the impact of China under Mao, the Maoist foreign policy of three poles in the world movement, the world situation, and China siding with the United States against the Soviet Union. I think this had a profound impact upon events that would occur later, including the ultimate collapse of the Soviet Union.
And of the left in the West.
Literally 12 years after the China and the U.S. established diplomatic relationships.
Right. And of the collapse of the left also, because the twist here was that on the one hand, the hard left here, and also the left among communities of color and and some of the colonial nations across the globe sided with Mao as being the actual communist, ideologue, heir of Stalin, Khrushchev and the successors as being revisionists and Trotskyists and et cetera. And in a fashion, they were right about Khrushchev and those, but in terms of the strategic game that was being played, China was allied with the United States. I'm sorry, that speaks for itself in terms of what the policy was then. We now have another situation, though. And I'm going to go back to what I said about the war being fought there. The U.S. has been installing THAAD missile, defensive missile, missile, shoot their missiles out of the sky before they hit the United States missiles. In Korea and some other places, and there are proposals on the books now or negotiations or contracts to install them in other places, including Japan. But one place also, in 2017, they floated a report in Taiwan and in Hong Kong's media that they may deploy the THAAD missiles in Taiwan. And the Taiwanese government there said, we don't want it, because these are designed to shoot down medium and long-range missiles, and none of those would be targeted against us, only short-range missiles, because we're right next door, and these don't defend against it. In other words, you guys are setting up close defenses of your own homeland on our land. There'll be targets in the first strike, which means we'll be targets in the first strike, so that you can defend yourself against the war you're starting on our territory.
Oh, yeah, that's very interesting. I didn't know about that. But now, and see, that's very interesting, because if you read that Global Times editorial, they speak of a period when relations were good and mainly peaceful. But and that probably is a reference back to 2017, 2016. And so on. But now they say that the government of Taiwan is making noises and speaking as though they are or want to be a part of a strategic encirclement of China. and the Chinese government is saying that will not happen. We will not allow it to happen. In fact, we will use military force to break the secession and to reunite Taiwan with China. And we in the West have to get this clear. We in the United States, that Taiwan is not an independent country. It has not been recognized since 1979 by the United States as an independent country. But the United States, hypocritically, and now with the Biden administration, which, and I will say this, is probably the most war-oriented administration since when? I mean, since when? Because they're not just talking about war on the periphery of world politics. They're now going to the center of world politics and talking about a great power conflict.
Right. A world war.
World war.
That's right.
Precisely.
Yep.
That is what we're talking about. And thus, it is so important. And this is the ideological difficulty for the progressives and the left in the United States. They are seduced by this talk of democracy. And all you have to do is raise up the flag of LGBTQ rights,
right,
or as they continue to do in Afghanistan, so-called women's rights, and the left bows down. It kind of gets weak in the knees and is unable to separate U.S. rhetoric and strategic interests from what is real, from the right to self-determination, from what constitutes a liberation movement, and in the case of China, what constitutes national sovereignty and territorial integrity, what international law upholds, and LGBTQ rights is not a part of international law and does not apply, even if it were, in the situation that is afoot in Taiwan Straits in the South China Sea.
Again, from the Global Times. The curtain of preparations for a comprehensive military struggle by the Chinese mainland has obviously been drawn open. The People's Liberation Army's military drills in the Taiwan Straits are no longer a declaration of China's sovereignty over the island, but implementation of various forms of assembly, mobilization, assault, and logistical preparations required to take back the island of Taiwan.
Absolutely.
Without giving up efforts for peaceful reunification, it's become increasingly the new mainstream public opinion on the Chinese mainland that the mainland should make earnest preparations based on the possibility of combat.
Mm-hmm.
How much clearer do you have to make it?
And if you think that's bluster, and if you think it's a marginal newspaper saying that, you have to understand precisely
right.
What role the Global Times plays in messaging the positions of the Chinese government and the Chinese foreign ministry.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all I wanted to say.
So, we've got about, let me take a quick look here. I think we've got, 4 minutes, no, so it's 6 minutes left, 5 minutes left.
Okay.
So, and on that, since you mentioned the authoritative nature of Global Times, let's take a look for a second at this piece in Foreign Affairs, which is also an authoritative statement of U.S. policy, at least. And it's a good part of it written down in Langley, and the rest of it most likely cleared there, through there anyway.
Yeah.
So the first day, they invoke, this is also, by the way, this is Tsai Ing-wen, who is the president of Taiwan right now, what we used to call the Kuomintang government, but they actually beat the Kuomintang in the election. These guys are even more out of the box, basically, on the question of peaceful relations with the mainland than the Kuomintang, the government that was thrown out in the revolution in 1949. She first goes to the COVID-19 pandemic and talking about how Taiwan basically is handling it better than China, but of course, waving what Trump was accusing and others, the whole media here really, accusing China of being the source of this global plague. And we're right there. We're like your front line, basically, on this, by the way, because we're a democratic society, and so we can get, handle these things better than that authoritarian one. And that's how she positions the two. It says Beijing, is looking to expand into Taiwan, which is completely ahistorical. Taiwan is part of China. Hong Kong is part of China. These are pieces that were broken off by the imperial powers, by the U.S. in the post-war period, post-World War II period, by Great Britain before that, and the, first rush to China, a century and a half, two centuries ago.
That's foreign affairs. It's the November-December foreign affairs is completely devoted to China. And it's not the first time that Foreign Affairs, the authoritative foreign policy journal in the United States, has devoted in the last year, in the last month, complete issues to China.
Yep.
But this time, they're talking about the Indo-Pacific and war with China, or as they would use the word, containment of China, that China is aggressive, that China is trying to overturn the global liberal trade and diplomatic and economic order that goes back to the end of World War II and the establishment of the dollar and of NATO and of the United States as the dominant force in world politics, that China is attempting to overturn this and to do it by force. In
yep.
spite of the fact that the United States and Britain and Japan are trying to encircle China militarily.
Yep. And one last thing here, by the way.
It's just like if China and a couple of other powers, such as North Korea, sent aircraft carriers, bombers, and other military stuff to Cuba.
Or Mexico and Canada.
One last thing here. That is how egregious it is. That is how outrageous it is.
And on the ground in Taiwan, she says, we will launch the all-out defense mobilization agency in 2022. And that's 2.5 months away now. A military reform intended to ensure that a well-trained and well-equipped military reserve force stands as a more reliable backup for the regular military forces. Now, we're talking, again, let's look at, they spend $15,000 per man, woman, and child on the military in Taiwan last year. They have a military budget of about one-third that of the United States for the whole empire. Ours is $300 and some odd billion they're spending. And they have 22 million people. They got like 7-8% of the population of the United States. And they're expanding it next year. They're getting ready for war, too.
Yeah. But a war that they cannot win, because the Taiwanese people are more predisposed to a peaceful reunification than they are with a war. It is this party, it is this government in Taiwan that is pushing for war, and it's being encouraged by the Western nations, especially,
by the United States. All right, Tony, thank you very much. We're out of time, and thank you for your insight, and we'll speak again next week.
Okay, thank you, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.